Coming up on the Mascot Wedding Show, Doug Mellard is our guest in studio. We talk about Die Hard, we talk about getting murdered, and we talk about mistakes made in Dallas. All this and more coming up on today's Mascot Wedding Show. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
And my name is Mac Blake. I forgot the intro. This is episode 262. My dirty wife.
And the butler.
Oh, that fucking shit. Hey, we're swearing right off the bat.
Yeah.
This is Mascot Wedding Show coming to you live from the Charlie Hodge Studios, also known as the shed behind his house.
Yeah, that's all I got.
And we have a very fun show, hopefully. First of all, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a little sweaty, as everybody is, but I went for a walk after work and before this show.
Why?
Because I need to sweat out all of this stuff that's in my body, and it feels good. Like, it's good to come home from work, which is a nightmare, and to just relax and decompress. But now I can't get my core temperature down.
That's what TV's for, idiot.
Fair enough. And I sweat when I watch TV because it's 104 degrees outside.
I just thought because programming's so hot.
It is.
I'm okay with going for a walk. I'm not disproving of that, but I would wait until it was night.
No, I get, this is going to sound so ridiculous, but I get maximum sweatage, and there's something very gratifying about going home and just wringing out my shirt.
Do you change out of work clothes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, I go full shirt and tie.
All right. Well, you don't wear a shirt and tie to work, right?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Side note, there is a guy at my office who goes for walks during his lunch hour, but, like, takes his shirt off and, like, walks around the building. So I shouldn't know that about a coworker. I shouldn't know what he looks like without a shirt.
So he doesn't have an undershirt? He's just going shirtless?
Just going shirtless.
How's he looking?
He looks like...
Is he like a Paul?
No, he's got a weird...
Paul Schaefer? Is he like a...
No. He's got like a weird, like, 80s bodybuilder body. Like
80s bodybuilder.
Like a Conan villain body.
Okay.
Where it's kind of... He's got like a narrow...
So he's got like fat man pecs, but they sit atop a giant uni-ab?
No, he's narrow-waisted and then goes out.
Okay.
He's more like a He-Man figure.
All right.
It's crazy.
On board.
Yes.
On board.
How are you, Mac Blake?
I'm good as well. Nothing to report. Had a dumb day. Ate a sandwich for lunch. Moving on. We have a very special in-studio guest who... used to live in Austin. Now he lives in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. Doug Mellard.
Hey. I'm just trying to hold back my vomit for the entire podcast.
Doug, I heard a rumor that you are hungover. Confirm or deny?
Confirm. Absolutely. I'm not looking forward to taking a bus to Dallas tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
What's in Dallas?
My parents. I'm just already dreading. I got to buy the ticket. I'm trying to convince... A friend's on the fence about it, but I think if I can tell them that would save me from vomiting on a bus,
yeah,
they might be like, all right, I couldn't let you do that.
That's a friend, because most of my friends would be like, cool story, bro. Like, meaning I want to hear the story of you vomiting on a bus,
yeah,
more
exactly.
than I want to be in the car with you.
I just thought about bath. Have you ever done a long bus ride? I mean, it's just a few hours, but...
Yeah. Don't go on a bus. Like, don't go.
Yeah,
to the
just in general. Just if you can avoid it, don't do it.
Yeah,
I've almost been stabbed on a bus.
Really?
I've almost.
Where was this bus that you were almost stabbed on?
I had to take a 24-hour bus ride to Des Moines, Iowa, to perform.
Had to.
And it was the cheapest.
Oh yeah.
Cheapest way to do it, and I exhausted all options. But and other comedian friends were like, you're never going to do it again, man. You're never going to. He's like, it's not worth it. It's worth it to do the flight, even if it's double.
Right.
And the whole ride up there was flawless. Like, there's no one on the bus, no kids. I slept in the back. There was like no noise. I was like, this is great. And then the ride back, immediately, like a crackhead just terrorized everyone. Like I think he flashed a knife or something at me and like threatened to kill me and then threatened to kill everyone. And, like, no one could really do... Oh, we almost started, like, kind of, like... I was thinking about passing around a note. There was a minor league baseball player. This guy was huge, and I thought about passing him a note, like, we're all in this together, right?
You're going to be our passenger 57.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
you're the brave one.
Do you have a bat on you?
I think the biggest indignity of that is if you had died, people would have found out you were riding a bus.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Murdering on bus, yeah, not the top of my list of ways to go.
No, that's right under like getting murdered on the toilet.
And you know what, though?
Like John Travolta.
Did he get murdered on a toilet?
In Pulp Fiction, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought I was hoping.
Oh, he got out.
I'm sorry. Did I say hope?
Bummer.
I feel like if you died on a toilet, because don't you take a... Am I just...
No, you poop out anyway.
Okay.
Poop out.
Well, I was gonna. Yeah, you anticipated what I was going to say. Do you take a death shit? Or
yeah.
Did I just make that up because I saw it on a cartoon?
No, you absolutely do. Your bowels release.
Okay. Ugh. So I feel like I don't must be doing... I feel like if you're going to commit suicide, you should probably just do it on a toilet.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Or just give yourself an enema first.
Yeah. You never see that in movies. You never see the body take a death shit. So I was watching a documentary where they showed like this guy's crime scene footage, and it made it that much sadder. Like, oh, man, and on top of being murdered, this guy has to be found with shit in his pants like that.
What documentary was that?
Dear Zachary.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
What's that about?
That will make you cry.
It's about death shits.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's all it's about. Dear Zachary.
Dear Zachary.
It's a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
About death shits.
I saw a documentary in theaters this weekend.
Which one?
Blackfish.
Don't do that.
Well, it was... Do you know what this is?
No.
Blackfish is a documentary about this whale that SeaWorld has that has killed two people, maybe three.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. It was an okay documentary. But when I left, two spoilers. One, they don't show the actual footage of the SeaWorld trainer getting mauled, which I guess as a human being I should be happy about, but I honestly,
it
makes me sound
bad.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
I was like, you know, like sort of like bracing myself for it. And I was like, no, I don't want to see it. But then when it didn't happen, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, that was like that bear documentary. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Grizzly Man.
Yeah, they have that footage and the guy, didn't he just trash it?
No, Werner Herzog. Like they show
him listening to it. But like, and you're like, this is the best part of the documentary. And
this
like,
is a lesson for everybody,
isn't it? He listens to it and he's like, this can never be released.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, Who the fuck are you to say what we can and can't watch, Werner?
He's
Herzog.
Like, but I will listen and jerk off to it.
My semen tasted strange that day. But you do. Speaking of semen, you don't see whale murder, but you do see whale dick. And
whoa.
Oh my God, killer whale penis.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What do they look like?
I think it might have had a second penis on the end of it. The footage was blurry, but I'm not joking.
It was blurry? Was it for indecency?
It was low res. How about that?
Okay. So it wasn't like, hey, we can't show this after 9.
No,
like
they showed
Japanese
it.
Porn?
Like squid fucking?
There was in the background, if you squint, a Japanese businessman masturbating and then tipping with his funny money. A million yen. What's that? $2? Good boy. So why are you hungover, Doug?
Because I drank a lot of alcohol.
Be specific. What was the reason?
I just did a show, and then I did Chris Cubis' show at Holy Mountain, and it's one of those things where he's like, do you mind going on last?
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I come back to Austin now, it just... It's almost stressful because it's like I have so many friends. I lived here for 13 years. Mm. So it's almost like I got to see everybody all at once. And like one of my best friends just had a baby. And like I feel like an asshole because I haven't met the baby yet. But I don't have a car. So I'm just dependent on like these weird rides. And normally I can walk, but I don't have a leg or I don't have either leg right now. So so I'm just kind of stranded, kind of just going with the flow. But just gets to where, like, I don't know, like, so it's just like, I'll go to a bar and everybody find me. I'm the guest, you come to me.
So how long have you been gone from Austin?
I think I'm going on 3 years in November.
Okay, so there still is that moment.
But I don't count the last year.
Yeah, why don't you count the last year?
I dated Satan for the last year in L.A., and it ended... And I had to call the cops on her and stuff.
I was going
to
ask you about you and Ellen, but I decided not to. That's weird that she switched back, but kudos. That was dumb. I was like, think of a name. Who's a celeb? Celeb. Wow. I hate myself now.
Yeah.
That sucks.
No.
You dated...
Well, like the weirdest part... God, I don't know if I've talked about it since I've been here on stage, but like, it got so bad. Like she was like so like insecure and everything, and it got so crazy that she we broke up, but she like kind of wouldn't accept it. And then like I had to watch her dog for a while. And I was like, I'm sure, like, you know, I'll watch your dog. I love your dog. Like, but she kind of used it as an excuse to just keep showing up at the house. Mm-hmm. She was like staying with a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And finally I was like, you can't just show up all the time. Like, I know your dog's here, but you can grab your dog. She was just like, come and play with the dog in the apartment. It's like, no, this is my apartment, but like, so just go to the dog park for a few hours or whatever. Like, get a. But I think she thought I was having an affair. And so I think she would just show up like, ha ha, caught you. Oh, nothing. Damn it. And then she would just be there for 9 hours. And so I would just like walk around my neighborhood for 9 hours or whatever. Wow. Like that. Like sometimes there were times when I would do that just to have, because that was a better option than watching her cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yikes.
And then, and then so eventually, like, I had to change the locks on her. It was awful. And then.
Did that?
I drove her back to Texas after we broke up, after I called the cops on her. Like, and people thought, like, they're like, you're going to get murdered. She's going to drive you off, like, crime of passion kind of thing.
That's,
you know?
Such a long drive.
It's a very long drive. We broke it up. We stayed in New Mexico, or in El Paso with my aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. At this huge ranch. And usually you ride horses, you shoot guns and stuff. And she was like, let's shoot guns in the morning. I was like, I am not going near you with a gun. This is not happening. My uncle was like, we'll hide all the guns inside the house. And I was like, please do that. And then like 2 hours outside of Dallas, she starts asking me all like the hard hitting questions like, well, when did you stop? When was the moment you stopped loving me?
Oh.
And I was just like, probably when you sent those pictures to that dude, or this other time, or this other time, or this other time, or this other. And then she started telling me the downstairs neighbor, this gay guy, super great guy. She's like, hey, you know, now that we're broken up, he's going to try to fuck you. And I was like, yeah, I'm a good looking dude. He can try, but
it's
like,
not the boogeyman.
Yeah. 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 And it's just like, and then it turned like real quickly. She was like, he's going to fuck you. Like I have no say in that. And then it turned into like absolutely. Oh, she got really jealous of this hypothetical. Like she got upset that I did concede to him and like that we did fuck.
I can't believe you slept with him.
Yeah. And I was just like, what just happened? I just remember screaming, "Real, this is happening." And then there was an extra 2 hours of just silence. And then I had a fever. Like my body broke down.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just starting to just let it out. Then I got mugged. Like, it's just been a shitty year.
Oh, was that then? When
that was like when I the last time I was here. So it was like, went to Portland. Portland was great. Normal. First week of Austin was great. And then I got mugged. And then, so I've basically like these last few shows, like I've done a few shows since I've been in town. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really planning on it. Like, I've been kind of testing my boundaries with my legs. But I basically have been bedridden for like 2 months.
We should address this. What's wrong with your life?
Yeah,
right now?
Can you tell that story? Is that
yeah,
okay?
Like I was at Parker and Riverside, and I just I heard running footsteps behind me at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was walking 0.4 miles to meet some people at the Buzz Mill, and the last thought in my head was, you know, it's late at night, you should be careful. And then I was like, you live in the middle of Hollywood. Like, you hear murder every night where you live.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, it's fine. And then I hear, right, that's the last thought. And then I hear running footsteps. And I'm like, in my head, I'm kind of thinking kids. And I'm like, it's 1 a.m. I turn around, it's a full-grown, huge man with his fist raised. And he's screaming, I'm not fucking around, give me your money.
What?
And then I hear a guy laughing. And then I see another guy. So I know there are three, and the guy himself was big enough to, and like I've started a lot of bar fights. Like, I'm notorious for being a jackass, but like, it was the first time where flight was definitely the answer. I was like, you're gonna die. That was the gut reaction. So I just blindly long jumped off this 8-foot concrete ledge onto more concrete and just shattered everything in both legs. So you guys, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Did he come down and steal your money at that point?
No, he jumped off the ledge as well, and he hit his head because I think he did because he. I looked back because I was still worried because he like that's a lot of intent to jump off the ledge with you after he sees you've gotten hurt.
Yeah,
and then like, and he was a bigger guy, so he didn't have as much like agility that I didn't even really have, and like he just. I remember he was moaning, and there was a moment where I was like, I should go get his wallet and be like, fuck you, man. But then I remember there were other people, and I was like, what if he has a gun? And so I just ran to Riverside where the lights were and started kind of waving my hands. And
you were running on your like shattered leg?
Yeah, like I there was enough adrenaline where like I knew I had to keep going. Yeah. And it reminded me of the Pulp Fiction scene with like Ving Rhames and Bruce Willis after that car accident, yeah. Like mm-hmm. running like in this gimpy like, you know, chase, but like he didn't get up, and then I went to Buzz Mill and immediately did a shot of whiskey.
Sure.
And then I'm actually going to Buzz Mill tonight to meet the girls that I was going to meet that night to hopefully not get mugged, so I can kind of like do this cleansing mentally of like, okay, Austin, like I had a little anxiety coming here, but I'm feeling good, feeling good.
More of Doug's last podcast coming up.
What if the guys are there waiting for you? Like, we knew you'd show back up. We're going to need that comedian money.
Yeah, like that's the other thing is like, why not just give him my money? Like the joke would have been on him. But yeah. I think they were just, it was violence. Like they didn't care about money. Like they were just going to beat me for fun in front of their friends.
Right.
It was not going to end well.
Well, welcome back to town.
Yep. It's been great.
Have fun in Dallas.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So when did you start doing a comedy?
You all right?
Did you start doing what?
When did you start doing stand-up?
I just blacked out a little.
That's not good.
I want to say oh, good Lord. I was 24. What am I, 30? So 10 years now.
Dang.
So I don't know what the year was. So that'd be 2003?
2003, yeah.
See, this is where my brain's at.
A while ago would have been an okay answer, too.
Forever ago in comedy years, mentally.
So I take it you're from Dallas?
Yeah, I grew up in Plano. I was a part of the, I don't know if you guys are aware, did you know Plano was like the heroin capital of the world?
I did know that.
I was right in the middle of that. Not like a drug dealer, and I didn't do heroin, but a lot of people around me did. Like there were kids dropping like flies. Like it was like the year I graduated was like that big buzz. Yeah. And it was just like a lot of pride.
Did you have any interest in capitalizing on that monetarily?
What, like trying to sell?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I was such a nervous like suburban kid where like even getting like that swag Plano weed that was like brown and all stems and seeds. And then like later in your life,
you do not have to apologize for your first thought wasn't be like heroin in this town. How can I get in on it?
Yeah, my big regret was not catching on that heroin boom.
Sorry, Walter White. I'm in the Empire making business all of a sudden.
I mean, looking back, thinking about it now, it's like maybe it would have been a better decision had I not got caught because, you know, I could use some money.
Yeah. And plus, like...
David's response? Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, because, of course, I can say that now, looking back, like, oh, big man, I would have loved to have capitalized. I probably would have been in the same boat. But at the same time... The idea of like Plano, Texas being the heroin capital of the world, I would love to get like some kind of Goodfellas story out of that where it's like, oh, I'm running this, this suburb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you could make a something out of that film wise or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought about it. There's got like all these weird suburban kids. Like, I mean, the whole thing was just so weird. Like, it was just strange. Just like a bunch of kids where their parents, like, really wealthy and just like, I don't know how to love you. Here's a bunch of money, but I'm not going to pay attention to you. And then they would just run off and do heroin. And it got really messed up to where they changed a lot of laws, like because they're trying to get it under control. But like one of the laws that they changed was like, if you showed up at the hospital with somebody that OD'd, there was something like 22 deaths either my senior year or maybe it was like two years combined,
man.
Something like that. But like they were like, I want to say this might, maybe I'm making this up, but like 60 overdoses a month where just like people not dying, but like ODing.
Yeah.
And it got to where if you, one of the laws they changed was if you dropped off someone that OD'd, and you were with them, you went to jail. So what started happening was kids just died because they would just leave them in their bed.
Yeah.
They would just be like, all right, sorry, dude. And then like kids would die. Like that's when it really got worse. Ah, so
see,
terrible.
This is a story that should be told. This really,
yeah.
I feel like at that point, if it's that bad, you should almost be like, hey, guys, what happened to teen pregnancy? Like, don't put that needle in. put a baby in somebody.
Yeah. You guys like feeling good, right? Try fucking. Yeah.
Condoms, we don't give a shit anymore. We'll pay for your abortions. Just fucking have them. Don't stop doing drugs. I want is sex better than heroin? Kill that guy. Kill that guy who said that.
Is it? In Plano in the 80s, it was suicide. Then the 90s, it was heroin. And then I think it was steroids. So I'm really excited about this new decade. What do we got coming up?
Usher in the era of
pirating Game of Thrones. Everyone's doing it. My dad's got an HBO subscription. Get out of here, narc. So what made you, or what brought you to Austin?
I got married when I was 18. That happened.
Wow, so you've been married. Hold on, let me.
Yeah, she went on to Top Model. She got third in Top Model at one point. She left me for the neighbor. They got pregnant. Yeah, and I never really talk about it on stage. I have so many stories. It's like, oh, it's probably instant gold, but I'm like, that's not funny. That's
or is
fucked up.
That's such a that's such a minefield to walk, because it's like, oh, this could be the funniest stuff ever, or this could bum everybody out.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, there's a fine line.
Yeah. Go take that to Scotland. Do a one-man show.
And we're still friends. That's the weird thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. No, she's a great lady. We realized, like, she proposed to me in the Burlington Coat Factory parking lot. With a ring pop.
That's love.
Because we were big time stoners.
How do you know she wasn't just funning you?
Looking back, we just realized, like, oh, we're just dumb kid. Like, it was like, we're both going. I went to UT down here. Like, yeah. That's really what brought me down. And then we got married the day after. The most fucked up thing about all that was, like, I have, like, really cool parents or whatever. And, like, we just eloped. Mm-hmm. And we were stoned when we got. I was just stoned that whole year, my whole senior year. But we went, you know, to the courthouse, got married, filled out all the paperwork, and then they sent us paperwork that was. We didn't think it all the way through. Where my parents found out via the mail that I'd gotten married because, like, they just opened something that was to me, and my mom was on her way to her grandfather's funeral.
Jeez.
So she had to get that phone call that Doug got married. He eloped. And then her mom called because she found a bag of weed that was ours. So her mom called my dad and was like, we need to talk. And my dad was like, no. We need to talk. And it was just like, my story trumps yours. We have horrible children.
I'm surprised you weren't brought back and deprogrammed.
Yeah, it kind of felt like they tried to have an annulled. And, you know, we were, like, 18 and stubborn, like, fuck you. We know what we're doing. Yeah. So they were, like, they sat us all down, like, a little intervention on our marriage. And they were, like, you guys are going to throw away your lives. This is stupid. They're like, we will let you talk it over. Like, go upstairs. Think about what we've said. You know, they went over why
God,
this is
sucks.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, at this point, you're married, right? Like,
yeah.
You're in it to win it. Like, the last thing you need is someone being like, why don't you talk about how terrible this idea is. Like, did that go well? I'm sorry if this is like a rude.
No. I don't mean to. Well, but I mean, looking back, they were absolutely, they knew what they were like.
Yeah.
It obviously didn't
18,
work out.
Pretty young.
Yeah. So they gave us all this information, like, this is why you're being idiots. Mm-hmm. And then we go up there, like, with all that information and we kind of like giggle and then like probably took a hit of weed and they were like, fuck you. No, we're not, like, we took 30 seconds to think it over and we're like, nope, we're doing this. And they're like, well, all right, fuck you. So, my whole life story, it's just one win after another.
Again, I feel like this is going to be one rude question after another. Are you on good terms with your parents?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys laugh about this now, or is it just like...
Yeah.
Remember Doug's marriage? Pass me another.
Well, no, because you seem to have a really, you know, a good sense of humor about this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I actually... I have this radio show, like, on Sirius, and we had my mom call in to get her side of the story, and there were so many things that I didn't remember that made me feel even shittier about it. Like, I didn't know she was on the way. I couldn't remember that she was on her way to her grandfather's funeral when she found out, and I was like, my heart just sank. And so I, to this day, still feel really guilty, like, about my mom, you know, because my parents, like, they raised me right. They're awesome parents. They're very supportive. they think it's great I'm doing comedy, even though like they shouldn't, you know. But yeah, I mean we kind of laugh about it. They still, I think, kind of hold a grudge against her sometimes, but there's not really any reason for that. It's just like, no, she was just as young as dumb as I am. I don't know why you're just making her the bad guy.
Right.
I don't know.
She's not here. Make her the bad guy.
Yeah.
So what?
I'm just bringing the bum.
No. like our deepest.
I almost got murdered in Austin once. Oh, wait. A different time.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
It was an old bit, but a guy jumped through a window and tried to take me out. That was fun. That was in like West Campus. Of all places.
Do you ever stop to ask yourself what it is about you that is bringing all this on?
Absolutely. All the time. Because, I mean, like, I've thought about, like, if I were to have one reality show about me, it would be to put me and two other test subjects in a very normal situation. Like, go make a deposit at the bank.
Uh-huh.
I know a bank heist would go down while I'm in the bank. And then the other two people would just, like, go through and, like, have the best. They like, win some money somehow or something. Like, it's just, yeah, I'm the guy that's always in the wrong place. I'm John McClane.
Yeah, but he won at the end.
Oh.
Yeah, but he doesn't, though, still. Like if you've seen, first of all, Die Hard 5, no one wins with that.
No.
That's just terrible. But, like, I have a real problem with, like, the first one was such a great film. Mm-hmm.
Die Hard is one of those movies, I think we talked about this before, where if I'm flipping around and it's on, I'll have to watch at least like 45 minutes
absolutely.
Or something like that.
I showed it to the girlfriend the other day. She loved it.
Oh, man.
Felt really good about it.
You got a good lady.
Yeah. that's the only litmus test I've done.
Hey, you like Predator?
Predator's another one. Yeah, those two are my favorite. Like, but yeah,
both John McTiernan movies.
That's yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. And I think Shane Black wrote.
Shane Black was in Predator.
Yeah. And did he write?
No.
No, McTiernan.
I wonder if Shane Black's involvement in Die Hard, because he's that character with those two really weird pussy jokes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it would just seem to come out of left field. And I kind of wonder if like he improv that. Was that in the script? Did he ghostwrite the script? Yeah. It seemed like.
In Die Hard?
No, Predator.
Oh, okay.
He was, you remember, he was like, oh, it was talking to my wife and I was like, I want a little pussy, and she's like, me too, and he's like, get it, my wife's got a huge puss. And that Indian chief was like, you know, in there, I guess, because the United Colors of Benetton like signed an agreement with Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm
trying to think of the there's a rap group with like Mr. Liff and a few other guys. I can't think of the name of the group. But they have a Predator reference, like where they talk about cutting your chest like Billy from Predator. And I was like, this is the best song ever. This is the best song ever.
These guys get me.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah.
Billy, what a loser.
John McClane, like the weirdest part to like when they get to Die Hard 4, his kids and his ex-wife hate him. And it's like, first of all, he would have a movie deal. He wouldn't be a cop anymore. He'd be rich. And then like, his children hate, like, you've saved the world and or like saved like them and like his mom and like multiple times and like and his kids hate it. Like, that makes no sense.
You think about that,
he's
like
the shittiest, he's the best dad ever.
It's the most flawed premise to a movie.
Yeah.
At the beginning of Die Hard 3, he's on the outs with his wife.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's drinking a lot. And at the end of end of the movie, he's like, I'm going to give Holly a call. See how she's doing. And then I don't know what voice that was.
Yeah.
And then I guess it was like, hey, I just survived. She's like, not now, John. Hang up. Blow her coworker. You know, like, didn't end up well.
Yeah, she's kind of a fickle lady. She doesn't seem to stick with him.
Fickle lady?
Yeah.
I bet he's a handful. Where's that movie?
he's like 50 Sully Sullenbergers. You can't just stick with that for a little while?
That was that the dude that was on the plane, or is that the guy that fought the terrorists in the boat?
No, that's the plane guy.
Or not fought the terrorists, but did he fight them?
No, he's
pirates. They're pirates.
He stood his ground against terrorist pirates.
Wait, in what?
I don't know. Lord knows.
It's a real life story that Tom Hanks is playing this
year. Oh yeah.
Captain, like the most boring title to a movie. It's like Captain Rogers or something.
Yeah.
It's a pretty.
I
want to
know how.
Story.
The casting for the Somali pirates, like how that went, because like, I mean, it's like the real deal. Like the casting, I mean, it's hardcore. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they But I'm kind of bummed I didn't get a call.
Like, at really... Variety, looking for like scarred dudes. Like, yeah. Hey, dark skinned weirdos, come on down.
The fact that I took these like Somali pirates and my brain was like tourists. Like that's real. That's real disconcerting. Like, yeah, that's great.
That's fairly accurate though. They're pirates in 2013.
That was like, you know, America's bad guys.
And we're back with more Mass Catholic Show. I'm David Hoffman.
Mac Blake, you know that though, because it's a podcast.
Oh yeah, that's right. God damn it.
Doug, we had a last time you were in town, we tried to have you on the radio show, and we no longer have it. So this is actually this is actually our second podcast. It's a podcast, not in like a studio.
Yeah, so we're still kind of working our way through like not having phone calls or any sort of interaction. Like, it's kind of weird.
You know, we have to like reset, and also we had these like, this is Mac Blake, the phone number is burp, burp, burp. But now I'm just like, hey, this is Mac.
Hey, you haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the whole reset. Yeah.
If you're back from drying dishes,
we could just have people call in and just put it on speakerphone.
There is the option of actually calling in Charlie here at the Hodgecast Studios or whatever, Hodge Studios. Hodgeloo.
The Hodge Pound.
The Hodge Pound. He does have the capability to take a phone call.
Yeah.
But maybe that's beyond us right now.
But going back to radio, and I apologize for my ignorance, you have a show on Sirius?
I do. They're changing taint. They're changing taint slots.
Oh, okay.
Time slots.
Don't want to do that to you.
I don't know that I'll be able to do it because it's like they want to change it to like 7 to 8 p.m. and it's like I can't sacrifice stage time. You know,
right.
Like it's just too much to where it's. Unfortunately, I think I'm gonna have to step back. I'm gonna try to maybe go once a month or something to do it, but we'll see.
That's pretty cool though.
But yeah, it's fun. Are you just going to call somebody randomly?
Hello, Sirius?
Oh,
yeah, that guy, Doug? Yeah, I can do a show.
That was a long walk for that.
I know. Well, my phone's on silent. We'll edit that out. No one needs to know that I pretended to hold up my phone.
Oh, little ADD put, sorry, I'm all over the place all the time. But,
please.
But I'm about to go do Punch at Cap City and I remember after that guy jumped through the window and you know, basically tried to murder me, I had two black eyes for like a month, so I didn't show my face for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a time out after something like that.
Yeah.
And I show up to a show and Bearden's in the back and I tell him the story, I've got these two black eyes, and he starts cracking up and I'm just like, what an asshole. And then I was like, and he sees that look in my face of like, why are you laughing? And he's like, someday that's gonna be a hell of a joke, Doug. And he was like, I'm jealous. And I was like, and like now, like I kind of get it because I will talk about like all the messed up stuff that happens to me, but still haven't talked about the mugging because a little too soon, but
fresh.
Yeah.
Did you think about that at all when you were running out on the road? On your crushed leg, the adrenaline pouring through your body, like, oh, this could be a good bit.
About the bit? The next day. But I did one time. Have I told you about the Robert Patrick story?
Robert Patrick?
The T-1000?
T-1000?
No.
Yeah. Oh, this is a pretty great story. So.
Yay!
I was.
Seriously.
So I was. I just got back from doing Fun Fest like 2 years ago.
Oh, is that the one where you stage dove?
Yeah, I did it both years, but I took it up a notch last year, but like no one caught me the first time. Like,
okay.
The first year I warned everyone, so everybody came up. Last year I was just like, I'm just going to do it. And then like, but at a comedy show, nobody's expecting it. So you just hear the microphone hit the ground and me just go, God damn it. And but it went really well. It was such a fun, like... Both of those performances, like I've never had that much fun on stage, but I love that festival. But so I just gotten back from like Fun, where like I ran into Flava Flav and Ryan Gosling, so it's already like been a surreal 72 hours. Like I talked to Henry Rollins and like all this stuff, and then I get back home. A friend of mine was visiting from Austin. One of the first things we do, we go to the grocery store to buy, you can buy booze at the grocery store like till 2 a.m. or whatever, which is why I moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we're going to get some vodka or something. And we immediately see this homeless guy just face plant into the ground. And you can hear his face just, you can hear it hit. And so we're, everybody's taken back. And my friend looks at me like we both look at each other like, what the hell? And then she looks at me like, you're the guy, you do something. And of course, like all the like we're from Texas, so we got to do something. But like, I felt like everybody else, like we're kind of like stepping over him and just like, yeah, we saw it too, but we're not going to do anything. We live here.
Yeah.
And so I run over there, and I'd been accosted by so many homeless guys at that grocery store. I was nervous. I was like, I want to help this guy, but like keep a safe distance. So like, I was worried he would like all of a sudden grab my leg and just shank me in the shin or something. Yeah. Like, so I'm like, sir, are you okay? Sir, are you okay? But I'm keeping a short distance. And he's like screaming into the ground with his face down. And I was just like, I was like, oh my God, this guy is so methed out. He's like talking to the ground. And then finally he turns over and he's talking to into an iPhone, like a Bluetooth.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, this is a really fancy bum. And then I was like, and then I immediately recognized his eyes, and it was Robert Patrick from Terminator 2. And I was just like, so like, and he was like, I need an EpiPen and liquid Benadryl. My throat's closing. Like he had been stung by a bee and he's really allergic.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, okay, but like there's, so I'm like, I gotta help. But like the 12-year-old boy in me is like, this is the coolest thing ever. And so like you were talking like, you know, were there jokes when that was happening with the mugging? There wasn't as much. But that time I was like, I'm seriously like trying to help. I'm running to the pharmacy to get liquid Benadryl and tell him that he needs an EpiPen. Didn't even know what the hell that was at the time. And then I'm just like telling them, but the whole time I'm thinking like, oh my God, T2 could have been so much shorter if I had a bee just stung him. And like, I'm like already writing bits in my head. And
while you're waiting for the EpiPen, you like buy a Sharpie and you're like flipping through the DVDs. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Season 8 of X-Files. Fine.
Millennium.
That'll work.
It was close enough.
And like, it was really nice. Like, and it was weird because like the next morning, like, I Google his name. Like I only slept for like 2 hours, and then I Googled his name like to make sure he had not died. And, like I got so invested because I was there the whole time. And he was like offering me money. I was like, no, I don't want your money, man. I just want to make sure that you can make another fine film, sir. So there he is on the cake aisle, passed out, little Mr. Patrick.
Wow, he does not look good in that photo.
Yeah, you should have seen his belly. It was all red.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's a photo of him just...
And I felt like an asshole taking the picture, but my friend was a younger female that, like, hadn't seen T2. And I was just... So, like, there was a moment where, like, I had 2 seconds where I was like, that's Robert Patrick, right? And she's like, I don't... Well, who is that? And I was like... The T-1000, you fucking idiot! And she's just like, what are you? And I was like, oh my God, it was so weird. But like, and what's weird is like the pharmacists were just like, oh, another homeless guy. They like drugged their feet to like go. And I didn't want to be like, no, it's Robert Patrick. And like when the store management got involved, it went, once they found out he was some sort of celebrity, the way he was treated was 1,000%. And wow. I thought he was a homeless guy, and I was still going, like, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't. That's so fucked up.
Right.
Oh, America.
I wonder if they could use that in their training. If a guy goes down, it could be Robert Patrick or a equivalent celebrity. So don't.
Yeah. would they train for if a celebrity goes down or if someone gets stuck?
There's whatever way you got to do to motivate scum. What are you looking up right now?
I'm looking up his Wikipedia to see if he's stung by his allergy to bees.
He has a blog on like his website, or he has some blog where he tells the story of the first time he was stung. He passed out on his motorcycle, and he didn't know he's allergic. And so like when I told this buddy that story, he thought I just he found whatever that story was, and he's like, "You just made all that up." And I was like, "No, this." And I had that picture. He's like, "But I didn't want to like." Send the picture because I don't want somebody to like, you can sell crap like that.
Exactly.
And I was not going to like.
Yeah, so Robert Patrick's dying days.
Robert Patrick, the T-1000 terminated by a bee, you know, whatever.
So how long ago did that happen?
It was like 2 years ago.
So you still have that picture on your phone?
Yeah, just because it's, I'll never get rid of it.
Of course not.
It was just so weird.
Yeah.
Like, and then I had a gig like 20 minutes after that and my mind was just like on this other planet.
Did you guys know that his brother is the lead singer of Filter?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Richard Holy Patrick. Shit. Yeah. So anyway, there's that. So
wow.
If you didn't have enough reason to want to die,
maybe he made.
I don't know
about.
If I would have saved him.
Oh fuck no!
Like I thought you were somebody else.
Yeah,
I thought you were a homeless guy.
I was hoping you'd be a hobo. Not some guy's gonna make more music.
Did he make more music
after Take My Picture? I don't think so. Let's find that.
That was a weird departure for him.
Yeah. To go from Hey Man, Nice Shot, this like Nine Inch Nails ripoff, to just this coffee shop friendly
song.
Well,
wasn't he in Nine Inch Nails? Wasn't that the thing?
Once.
What?
Okay, we're not going down this rabbit hole.
Well,
I'm putting the Wikipedia.
Robert
way.
Patrick was definitely Nine Inch Nails.
That's my understanding.
Maybe that
he
other
replaced
guy,
David Duchovny.
Maybe the guy from Filter was dating a girl at VH1. And he was like, I got more reason to go visit her. Hey, Dad. Or whatever. I guess you couldn't see my hand strumming an acoustic guitar.
I thought it was beautiful, though.
Thank you, man. As we all know, I'm the worst at replicating songs.
I did a really dumb thing the other day, speaking of strumming a fake guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning how to play guitar, but I'm naturally left-handed, but this guitar is a right-handed guitar, so I'm trying to switch.
Oh, you're like Animal Ronker of that dog.
Uh-huh. So I'm trying to switch, you know, how I hold a guitar.
Yeah.
But it's affecting the way I'm a shithead to people, because, like, when someone says something dumb, I'll usually do a sarcastic bass line.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't know how to hold the guitar or hold the imaginary bass. So I just held two necks the other day when someone said something shitty. I was like, ooh. I was like, okay, this feels dumb.
Mm.
Yeah.
Taste your own medicine there.
Exactly. I felt so small after that.
That movement, it just looked like you're jerking off two dicks.
Yeah, pretty much. That's my legacy now. Just, hey, it's the guy who jerks off two dicks.
Man,
I get it.
Something that I used to do that I can't imagine doing now. as you can see, I just laughed at it. Is if someone's telling a boring story and there's a group of friends, I'll wait for a good part and they'll just go, boring! And that person, everyone will laugh, that person will cry, and then we'll just move on to a new topic.
Uh-huh.
And I can't imagine doing that now because it's just the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
But God, I loved it.
It felt so good. So goddamn
God,
good.
It was. I still remember the times. Here's Remember the Times, Michael Jackson.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. You should start to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I know. Went by so fast. Doug, do you have any... So you're back in Austin now, hanging out. You did the Aqua Olympics. You're hanging out doing shows. What do you got coming up? Do you have any plugs?
Do I have any plugs? Just follow me on Twitter, at Doug Mellard, M-E-L-L-A-R-D. I'll just plug that for now. I'm going to be in Minneapolis at Acme Comedy Club August. I was about to say May. In a year, I will be at a club. August 27th through the 31st. So you can find me there. But yeah, just find me. I'm awesome on Instagram sometimes, and I'm not this hungover. Don't murder me. If you have any leads to that guy that tried to mug me at Riverside and Parker, hit me up on Twitter.
If you're that guy, leave us a good review.
We'll try to post this within the first 48 and see if the leads don't go cold.
I started doing stand-up like, hey, I'm actually going to do this like about 4 years ago. I think it was actually 4 years ago. It was like summer 09. But before that, I would occasionally do stand-up. And, you know, I'd be like, I hadn't done stand-up in like 5 years. Like, I did it like once or twice in college. And then I was like, oh, I'll enter this Funniest Person in Austin contest. I was one of those assholes. But I remember before I entered my first contest, I would check it out. And I remember like watching it and being like, oh, man, some of these people are terrible. Maybe I have a shot or something like that. But I remember seeing you and David Huntsberger, and you guys were like, I was like, oh man, those guys are the goods.
Yeah.
The goods. Thanks,
man. Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with that about David, but you know, he's one of my best friends. I love that guy.
Awesome.
Anyway, just wanted to fit in that bit of whatever. David, how did you have any plugs? I don't know why I said it like that.
Let's see. Stat Comedy's still doing its residency at Sure Thing every Saturday this month at Austin Java. Go to mascotwedding.com for more stuff about us. Email us, guys. We want to get your emails. mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook /mascotwedding. We're on Twitter @mascotwedding.
Sounds good. Doug, thank you so much for coming
gentlemen.
The show today. And for the love of God, stay out of trouble.
Please do.
We'll see.
Unless you got a really hilarious skeleton. In which case, let's see that thing.
Yeah.
Let's see your bones, dude. All right. Bye.
Bye.